The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, the 18th International Symposium on Translational Research in Oncology will take place in the Herbert Park Hotel from Wednesday next, the 24th of September, to Friday the 26th. The event will see over 35 internationally renowned speakers present their latest advances in cancer research and treatment. And one of the event's organisers is Professor John Crown, consultant medical oncologist at St. Vincent's Hospital, group professor of translational cancer research at DCU, and a professor in UCD as well. All of those things. And John, another honour has been heaped upon you.
Oh my God, I'm being humbled here, Pat. Thank you very much for having me on
the
show.
You've been elected to Academia Europae. That's
yes,
the Latin, I think.
That is it. It's the European Academy. It was set up by the Council of Europe 30 or so years ago as a forum for people who were involved in research across really all areas of research, not just medicine and science, but you know, in the arts, politics, economics, etc. To have a forum. So I was delighted and humbled to be informed that I was elected to membership of it this year, and I'll be going to Barcelona the next few weeks for the induction ceremony and to attend my first meeting. And I'm really, really looking forward to that.
And you have a lot of Zoomy meetings during the year and then one in the flesh meeting.
That'll be it.
Yeah, that'll
pretty
be
much.
It. Okay.
And
now,
then
what
more exciting is the following week is the European Society of Medical Oncology, which is our annual meeting. And I'm really looking forward to that. I believe there'll be a lot of interesting new data presented at that as well. It's really exciting times in cancer medicine, Pat. Really exciting.
Now, cancer used to be a word that people whispered. It's no longer the case because such is the speed of advance that what used to be pessimistic can be quite optimistic these days.
I would not trivialize the awful tragedy that it still brings to so many lives and the huge challenges that we still face as a profession and as a society, and dwarfed by the challenges the patients and their families themselves face. But the progress has been absolutely astonishing in the last 10 years. I was commenting, I recently sat down to write a stack of treatment orders, and I commented to the nurse who was working with me that most of those drugs had not existed 10 years before. There has been, and many, many of our patients are coming in now, whereas we used to just prescribe old-fashioned chemotherapy. Many of our patients are coming in now and are getting much more modern treatments that do not involve chemotherapy. Huge change.
Would you say that the majority of treatments now are heading towards immunotherapy rather than chemotherapy?
I think chemotherapy has had its day. I think we've maxed out on what we need. I don't want to denigrate the efforts of huge chemotherapy researchers over the years. They cured childhood leukemia, many childhood cancers, some kinds of blood cancer. But we have maxed out on chemo. And I was one of the people whose early career was devoted to try and get the very best results we could get with new chemotherapy treatments. And we hit the brick wall. And basically a new generation of brilliant scientists by about the end of the last century and the early years of this century gave us the tools to have a fundamentally different approach, one of whom we'll be giving a public meeting next week, public address at our meeting next week, Dr. Dennis Lehman from University of California, Los Angeles, who is an extraordinary man with an extraordinary story. The son and grandson of Syrian immigrants to the States. His father was a coal miner, and he had showed brilliance as a young man, got into medicine and science, and he made a very early discovery involving a little alteration that some breast cancers have. About 20% of breast cancers have a little quirk, which makes them really dangerous. And he discovered this, and in the teeth of opposition from much more established researchers, persevered, proved it, and developed a treatment which has been absolutely transformative, a drug called Herceptin, which is kind of old news now. But as a result of Herceptin, a whole new generation of Herceptin-like drugs have come along. And the effect that this has had in redirecting the field away from chemotherapy has been huge.
Now, himself, you mentioned he was descended from Syrian immigrants, and you're thinking in the climate in the United States today, that would not happen today.
It would have been very difficult, especially in a country that until very recently was seriously talking about having a ban on anybody coming into the States from Muslim countries. I guess Syrians wouldn't have been too welcome. What an extraordinary contribution that man has made to the United States of America, to American science, to medicine, to the lives of American women, to the American economy. And what's more, the other really scary thing that's happening right now, the single biggest engine driving the modern revolution in cancer research was the federal government in the United States. We like to decry him now, but Nixon signed an act in 1971 called the National Cancer Act, which inaugurated what is referred to as the war on cancer, although we don't necessarily like that phrase anymore. And this directed the federal government, after the moon landings to say, now let's put the same effort into curing cancer. And of course, there was frustration when, you know, they landed on the moon 9 years after John Kennedy's famous speech, 8 years after John Kennedy's famous speech saying they wanted to. Curing cancer is taking a whole lot longer because it's a much harder thing to do.
Well, John Kennedy, he talked about what they do. They don't do it because it's easy. They do it because it's hard.
Exactly. And that's exactly. There was just huge perseverance, persistence, and patience. People had to start from scratch, unlock the mysteries of the cancer cell, dissect the biology of the cells, what made them tick, what made them different from normal cells. That was three decade long effort. And then the hard part came. How do you drug that? How do you actually develop medicines which will exploit those differences and treat cancer?
Are most of these drugs now, the new drugs, the immunotherapy drugs, are they what you'd call biologics? And in other words, they're kind of living rather than just pure chemistry?
That is, well, there's a bit of both. Most of them, the immune drugs, you're correct. The immune drugs are all biological agents. They're mostly what we call antibodies. They're synthetic versions of what our body makes normally. Our body is swimming in antibodies that we make against potential germ targets that might attack us. But what the new drugs are is an attempt to use the same kind of technology our body does, but to make the kind of antibodies we want that specifically target things we want to target. And you're right, they're complicated to make, they're expensive to make, they take a long time to develop, but my goodness, have they been great. But I have to put in a word for the synthetic chemists too. Chemistry is still there because instead of just making, you know, blunderbuss chemotherapy drugs, what the chemists are now making are smart bombs, drugs which specifically target, you know, parts of the cancer cell. And these drugs are chemicals. They're often tablets. People now, I have so many patients who come into me once a month, just check their bloods, check them out, see you back next month. As the old joke goes, take the pills. Yeah. And the cancer stays under control, often for a number of years. Exciting times.
Now, the focus of your conference obviously will be the latest research, but there are different elements. I mean, there's the prospect of a cure, which means the cancer goes away, the prospect of a treatment, which might not make the cancer go away, but makes it livable with, and then there's the first step, prevention.
Well, you've got it in one. I mean, this and they're all important. And also, by the way, early diagnosis is another one that we're getting very interested in. I think there's been a huge focus on cancer prevention. We now have a couple of vaccines which can prevent different kinds of cancer. The HPV vaccine can protect, obviously.
I often wondered why cats have a vaccine against leukemia and humans don't.
Different kind of leukemia. It's a disease, I think, that is probably easier to be recognized by the immune system. But there are vaccines now. I have to say, one of the things which has been very interesting in the last couple of years is there are a couple of vaccines that are being looked at very seriously for common cancers that you would never think the immune system would have anything to do with, like pancreas cancer. Pancreas cancer is a very serious disease and in which progress has been slower, not because the people who are researching it aren't very good, but it's just it's a harder target to deal with. But there are two vaccines being looked at right now which appear at a very preliminary level to have the potential for perhaps prolonging the duration of remission in patients with pancreas cancer too.
Now, one of the papers that I was looking at was about exercise post-cancer, that it could avoid remission in some people. The idea before was take it easy, relax, don't stress your body. Your body's stressed enough with your cancer treatment. Instead, they flipped that.
Get off the couch. It certainly seems to work. I would say the single, I was asking one of my new young excellent colleagues, Dr. Anna Linehan, who was working with me in Vincent's, and I said to her, what was the biggest message for you from the American Society of Clinical Oncology this year? And she looked at me and said, exercise, of course. There was one study which was presented in which patients who had a history of colon cancer were randomly assigned into two groups. One were given maximum information about healthy things to do, and the others were given an actual rigorous formal exercise program that involved trainers and 10 hours a week of structured exercise activities going on for a number of years. And there was a 20% reduction in relapse and in death rate with it, a 20% relative percent reduction, which is extraordinary for this. I mean, if there was a drug company making a drug who did that, you'd be buying their shares tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
You know? So we're all looking at it quite critically about ways that we can start getting this message out to our patients. Obviously, it's not practical for some patients. But the thing about this study was you'd think, is it a bias because fitter and stronger patients were going? No, because the study was randomized. The patients were randomly assigned. One half got the exercise program and one half didn't. And presumably, they were all equal starting off. And there was a difference.
Phenomenal. I mean, these unexpected findings, I mean, the skill is to recognize when something strange happens, to recognize that it's important.
Absolutely, absolutely. And now, and have an open mind, because it's something I, for instance, I would have been, if somebody had said to me, bet the result of the study in advance, I would have bet it would have been negative.
Mm. Now, talk to me about the conference itself. It's for the professionals primarily, but there is a public meeting.
There's a really interesting public meeting. Dr. Slaman, who we mentioned a few minutes ago, is one of the most inspirational figures I know, but he's also a brilliant speaker. And he also has that great ability to talk to a lay audience, to engage them and to inform them. And on Wednesday night next Wednesday night, the 24th of September, in the Herbert Park Hotel at 6 o'clock, there is a meeting open to the public. We welcome all cancer patients, their families, survivors, carers, anyone who's just interested in cancer to come along. And I'm going to give you an email address to contact. It's neil.conlon, neil.conlon@dcu.ie. 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 And Neil will give you the details. You can either attend in person. There will also be an option for dialing into it virtually. It will be, believe me, a very special night. He's done this before. This is a man who many of us hope and believe may yet win the Nobel Prize. And I think it's a chance to glimpse a little bit of history.
Well, you're one of the organizers, so the best of luck that everything goes really well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, John Crown, Professor John Crown. Thank you for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.